of all the mature, responsible things you could be doing. Helping old ladies cross the street, proudly maintaining your yard, hanging with your folks, or cleaning your room. But get real, you'd rather be playing video games. You can rent them from Blockbuster. So dudes, why not get your game from Blockbuster? It's the mature thing to do.
Welcome to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, the podcast that watches all its soccer games at the bada bing. I'm your host, Taylor Cole, and I'm here with Seth Tinkerbell Dodson.
Clap your hands if you believe I'll win.
Diana Hormone Monstrous Forster.
I'll give you a bubble bath in my trivia skill.
And Scott the Esquire Harvey.
Justice is served, and soon my opponents will be too.
Hello to everybody, and thank you for joining us for today's match. We are on to the third elimination match of the Vancouver Rehearsal Tapes division here in our seventh season. With us today, keeping track of all the numbers and making sure the trivia is all set to go, is our friend Score Master Dan. Hi there, Dan.
Well, Taylor, I've got some bad news for everyone. Our official bookmaker has stopped taking proposition bets on regular season matches. They'll still be there for the playoffs, but apparently the odds on Joe Don Baker questions just almost bankrupted them.
And also today, working the soundboards is Production Master Dave. How you doing today, Dave?
I can't talk about it anymore. It's giving me a headache. Ah, Nuprin. Little. Yellow. Different.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dave. But that means it's time to get into our first game, a round of My Champion. This is the game where each one of our players has picked a champion from somewhere in the world of pop culture. But we choose the battle those champions are fighting. Reality TV and indie rock aficionado Seth Dodson, who is your champion today?
My champion is Jareth the Goblin King from The Labyrinth.
Corporate consultant, writer, and recovering academic Diana Forster, who have you got for your champion?
My champion is Leslie Knope from Parks and Recreation.
And the never-married divorce lawyer Scott Harvey, who is your champion?
My champion is Joe March, specifically from the 2019 version of Little Women.
All right, all three champions are in. Production Master Dave is going to be our judge today, so let's spin that scenario wheel. Today's scenario, who's going to make me feel better about the ice cream scoop that just fell off my cone onto the cold, indifferent pavement? Seth, why is Jareth the Goblin King, as played by David Bowie in Labyrinth, going to make me feel better about the ice cream scoop that fell off my cone?
Sure. So the premise of The Labyrinth is that David Bowie, Jareth, kidnaps this baby to kind of entice a teenage girl into his fantasy world. So he has to take care of this baby, and he does that in a variety of ways. He puts singing goblins in front of the baby, sings to the baby, really takes care of the baby, does contact juggling in front of the baby. So I feel like he's equipped with many ways to make you feel good. And if nothing else works, you know, it is David Bowie in a pair of really tight pants, which makes everybody feel good.
Thank you, Seth. All right, next to Scott, why is Joe March from Little Women going to make me feel better about that ice cream fall?
So part of Joe's journey in the 2019 version specifically is that she becomes a kinder, more patient person. We see over the course of the movie, we see her learning that lesson from Marmee about how to quell your anger, even when you want to express it. And even by the end of the movie, we see her acting very kind towards her sister, even when her sister has now married the person that she at least thought she was in love with. So she's learned that lesson over the course of the movie. Also, we see her facing some actual real major tragedies in the movie, like her sister dying and her other sister almost dying when falling through the ice. A dropped ice cream cone sort of pales in comparison to that. So I think she's really been steeled by her experiences and will be able to help you with the situation.
Thank you, Scott. And Diana, why is Leslie Knope going to make me feel better about the ice cream scoop that fell off my cone onto cold, indifferent pavement?
Leslie Knope is renowned for her optimism. She could make anyone feel better about anything. She would also probably remind you that Sweetums might have made your ice cream. The evil, evil Sweetums Corporation. So you're really better off without that particular ice cream.
Thank you, Diana. Three fantastic arguments, but ultimately Production Master Dave is going to determine our winner this week. Dave, who's it going to be?
I think everybody had a good argument for their particular choice of my champion. The Goblin King, he's got a lot going for him, David Bowie's tight pants aside. However, I think it's 50-50 whether he's the guy that helps you through it or he's the guy that caused it. Joe, I think we're dealing with something more substantial than an ice cream scoop falling on the ground. I think she's going to help you with some real capital L life tragedy stuff. I think when it comes to losing a scoop of your ice cream, Leslie Knope has to be the one you go to. Certainly, she is the poster child for unbridled optimism and good arguments all around. But really, as soon as I heard Leslie Knope, it had to go there. Our winner today, Diana, with Leslie Knope.
Woo!
Congratulations, Diana. You have won my champion, which means you get to take a crack at the half point. Answer this question correct, and you'll have half a point before we even start round one. Here is your half-point question. In which movie does Albert Brooks proclaim, "This tastes like an orange foot," after being force-fed a spoonful of freezer-burnt sweet tooth sherbet?
I might be showing my age, but I'm not sure I know of a single Albert Brooks movie. I'm going to have to pass.
This is the 1996 movie with Debbie Reynolds called Mother. Capital M, no exclamation mark, Mother.
What's the other one called?
It's called Mother. So you may have missed the half point, Diana, but you do get to go first in round one. Name that product. Ad companies seem to think that commercial products appearing in pop culture make consumers remember the product. But does it really work? To find out, we'll describe the appearance of a real product or brand in a pop culture property. You name the product or brand. So if we told you that Hershey saw profits from this candy increase by 65% in the weeks following the release of a 1982 family sci-fi movie, you'd know the product we were talking about was
Reese's Pieces.
Reese's Pieces after seen in the movie E.T. That would get you 10 points. If you need more help, we can tell you one of the slogans that the product has used in actual ads, but then a correct answer is only worth 5. We'll start off round one with Diana. Kurt Cobain apparently thought this song title product was some kind of anti-establishment motto rather than an antiperspirant.
Okay, the first answer I went to was lithium, but that's definitely not right. I'm going to need a hint.
The slogan for this product is, "Just for you, by Menin."
Pass.
That antiperspirant is teen spirit, as in the song Smells Like Teen Spirit, which Kurt Cobain saw written as graffiti at one point. Next up, over to Seth. Men in Black managed to make their use of this brand of sunglasses integral to the way the movie's tech works.
I think I remember this one. I want to say that it's Ray-Bans.
Correct for 10. Next to Scott, Sony got some pushback when they had the Andrew Garfield version of Spider-Man use this search engine.
I have an idea. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to say Bing.
Yes, Peter Parker, huge fan of Bing in The Amazing Spider-Man 2012. Next up, back to Diana. In the 2000 version of Hamlet, Ethan Hawke delivers a soliloquy in this now mostly gone retail establishment.
I think the answer to that is Blockbuster.
So dudes, why not get your games at Blockbuster? It's the mature thing to do.
Yes, that to be or not to be seen in a Blockbuster. Next up to Seth. The circle that served as the mascot of this soda has been the subject of no fewer than 3 video games.
Sure. That's going to be Spot from 7-Up.
Naming the circle, incredible context, 10 points to Seth. Next to Scott. A giant can of this food product shows up during an Arthurian-based Broadway musical comedy.
I think that's going to be Spam.
From Monty Python's Spamalot, correct. Back to Diana. In an Adam Sandler movie, Coach Klein says that this is better than water in order to enrage the title character.
I'm going to take a guess. Gatorade?
Yes, in The Waterboy. Next up to Seth. The movie Evolution features aliens that can be defeated with selenium found in this dandruff shampoo.
I guess I think I've ever seen this movie. I'm thinking of you know, water defeating aliens in a terrible M. Night Shyamalan movie. But yeah, I guess a dandruff shampoo is at Head and Shoulders.
Without going for the hint, he gets the full 10. Next up to Scott, Wayne Knight plans to smuggle dinosaur embryos in a container that looks like a can of this.
Oh, you found one of my weaknesses, that I do not enjoy these dinosaur films for the most part. I am going to have to ask for the hint on that.
The slogan for this product is blank, blank, no brush, no lather, no rub in, wet your razor, then begin.
Old Spice.
Seth knows this one.
I think it's Barbasol.
Yes, the shaving cream that Newman uses to get the dinosaur DNA out of Jurassic Park. And that'll take us into our first update on the scores from Scoremaster Dan.
Now, Taylor, we should say, we don't have confirmation that Wayne Knight's character from Jurassic Park is actually Newman. We all
Every
think
character
true,
but... Wayne Knight has ever played is actually Newman.
Right now, most of the way through round one, Seth's in the lead with 30 points. He's been perfect so far. Scott and Diana are tied with 20. Everyone's doing very well.
Get back into the game with Diana for another real-life product appearance in pop culture. In The Expanse, the OPA uses cargo pods adorned with the label of this shipping company.
I have never seen this movie, and I can think of a few shipping companies, so I'm going to take the hint.
The slogan is, when it absolutely positively has to be there overnight.
Is that FedEx?
It is showing up on Sci-Fi and Amazon's The Expanse. Next to Seth, the first live-action movie based on a popular 1987 cartoon had the titular sewer dwellers ordering and eating lots of this company's delivery food.
This definitely sounds like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and I want to say the pizza company is Pizza Hut.
You got the property right, but in this case, those turtles are ordering Domino's Pizza. Next to Scott. The 2017 Power Rangers movie features multiple scenes set at and multiple mentions of this pastry-based chain.
There are a few options, but haven't seen this one, so I'm going to have to ask for the hint.
Slogan is, bring a box, bring a joy.
Now I've got one thing in my head and I'm stuck on it, even though I don't think the hint really matches it. I'm just going to say Cinnabon.
Seth?
Is that Dunkin' Donuts? No?
In this case, it's Krispy Kreme all over that 2017 Bryan Cranston Power Rangers movie. One more product appearance per player. This is for Diana. Video games featuring the feline mascot of this snack brand include Wild Wild West and Too Cool to Fool.
Is it Cheetos?
Yes, with Chester Cheetah popping up in those video games. Next to Seth. In order to avoid the appearance of product placement, BBC Radio censored a line in the Kinks' hit Lola to remove a reference to this beverage.
Okay, sorry, I got the chorus of Lola going through my head, but it's just a lot of la sounds. So could I get the hint here?
Have a blank and a smile.
Blank and a smile. Gosh, I don't think I have anything here. I'm going to pass.
Scott?
Is that a Pepsi Cola?
Close. Coca-Cola. C-O-L-A Cola.
Sorry, we don't serve Pepsi here.
Next up to Scott. In Idiocracy, U.S. President Camacho's full name includes the two-word name of this soda.
Oh, I just heard this name recently. I've never seen the movie, but it's a memorable name. And yet, in spite of saying that, I can't remember it, so I'm going to ask for the hint.
The slogan is, do the blank.
Is it Mountain Dew?
Yes, with Terry Crews playing President Dwayne Elizondo Mountain Dew Herbert Camacho in that movie. Well, that'll do it for round one. Up next, scores from Dan, and on to round two.
Going to round two, it's time for the Astro City score break. Astro City! Why'd you kill off Good Dog? Why? Why would you kill off Good Dog? Going to round two, Diana's lead with 35 points. Seth is close behind with 30. We have a very close game because Scott is in third place, but he's got 25 points.
That is a real close game, and Scott could do some major damage with the Threequalizer. Scott, I'm going to ask you a question that has three possible answers. You're going to have three guesses to match as many of those answers as you can, with 10 points to you for each correct answer you can provide. Here is your Threequalizer question. The Muppets have made full movies adapting three classic novels, with theatrical releases in 1992, 1996, and a 2005 TV movie. What are those novels that the Muppets adapted?
Okay, so I know for sure that one is A Christmas Carol. Don't think I'm going to pull the TV movie as not a Muppets fan. I guess I should just guess an old book. A Muppet Great Gatsby would be interesting. And I'm going to say that the other one is... I don't have it. Pass.
Seth, do you know any of the other two?
Treasure Island is one. So
everyone always forgets about Muppet House of the Seven Gables. Yeah. Every single time.
And the Muppet Bible.
Muppet 1984.
Muppet Scarlet Letter.
Yeah.
Muppet Brave New World.
Yeah.
In this case, we are talking...
50 Shades
In this case, that 2005 TV movie is The Muppet Wizard of Oz, and it's not good. Quentin Tarantino's in it. It's very weird.
I know.
That said, if you ever do want to do Muppet Great Gatsby, it's called The Great Gonzo, and I give that project the green light. This look on Dan's face, I'm so proud, so proud. All right. Well, speaking of Muppets and crazy adaptations, we're going to go into round two entitled Get 'em While They're Young. While Sesame Street is a show for small children, they try to make parts of the show interesting to the adults in the room, often with parodies of TV shows and movies. In this game, we'll describe one of these parodies from Sesame Street, and you have to name the TV show or movie that it's based on. So if we told you that Sesame Street had a recurring sketch about two fashion-conscious rodent detectives in a South Florida locale, you know that was a parody of...
Miami Vice.
Miami Vice, called, of course, Miami Mice on Sesame Street. That answer would get you 20 points. If you need more help, we can tell you a little bit about the source material, but then a correct answer is only worth 10. Afterwards, you'll get a related follow-up question that's worth another 10 points. Let's start off round two with Scott. It's the Count's favorite show. In a twist on a conceit of a popular action series, each episode is a little less than half a minute, and he gets to count each second as it happens.
That is a show that I enjoyed, but I feel like has not aged well. 24.
420, very good. Scott, during season two of 24, Alicia Cuthbert was actually bitten by one of these animals who was menacing her character.
I remember this because it was one of the worst plot twists on the show. I think it was a mountain lion.
Correct for another 10. Scott off to a strong start in round two. Next up to Seth. In a rare appearance of the Richard Belzer Muppet, an elite squad of detectives searches for the very special letter M.
I'm going to take the hint, please.
A 1999 procedural.
Shoot, I don't think I have it. I'm going to guess NYPD Blue.
That's going to be Law and Order SVU, starring Richard Belzer. And on Sesame Street was Law and Order Special Letters Unit, hence searching for the letter M. Still for Seth, after leaving Special Victims Unit, Christopher Maloney came back to the Law and Order franchise as the star of this 2021 spinoff.
Law and Order is not in my wheelhouse. I'm going to pass.
Wait, just come up with a Law & Order title. A title you think belongs after the colon of Law & Order, you might get it. Let's do it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this must be Law & Order Muppet Edition.
Diana knows this one.
Was it Law & Order Organized Crime?
Yes, with Elliot Stabler coming back to the series. Diana, this next Sesame Street parody is for you. A citrus fruit with glasses convinces her boss that she has ordered the correct number of stones for a sketch, and they count them together.
I'm going to need a hint.
A 2006 sitcom.
Some kind of workplace sitcom from 2006. I have no idea. Pass.
That glasses-wearing piece of citrus fruit is Liz Lemon. And they are counting to 30 rocks. That was a 30-rock parody. Still for Diana, this musician and actor started writing for 30 Rock while he was still living in an NYU dorm and working as an RA.
I'm going to pass.
That is Donald Glover, writing for 30 Rock even a few years before he was on Community. Next up, we are back to Scott. A faux sitcom about a not-at-all-creepy family that just loves to practice addition.
I think that's going to be maybe the Adding Family from the Addams Family.
Pretty much spot on, the Ad-apostrophe-ums family. They're adding them up. Very good. Still for Scott, in the most recent animated Addams Family movies, Gomez is voiced by this Ex Machina actor.
That's Oscar Isaac.
Correct for another 10. Back to Seth. Imagine, if you will, a black and white Sesame Street segment introduced by Gordon in which a boy has to figure out where it's safe to cross the street.
Black and white movie. Okay, so this makes me think that this must be an older film. Can I have the hint, please?
Is a parody of a 1959 anthology show with multiple revivals.
Okay, I'm going to say it's The Twilight Zone.
Yes, on Sesame Street as The Crossing Zone. Still for Seth, the 2002 version of The Twilight Zone was hosted by this Oscar winner.
Oh, who am I thinking of? No, I guess I'm thinking of the Neil deGrasse Tyson. Didn't he do something like this? But he doesn't have an Oscar. Shoot, pass.
Diana?
Jordan Peele. Oh.
Jordan Peele did host the 2019 revival, and Jordan Peele is an Oscar winner, but back in 2002, this was Forrest Whitaker hosting that version of The Twilight Zone.
It's the UPN version. No one remembered it. You're fine. Don't worry about it.
Lost some time there.
Next up, we are back over to Diana. Two plants, neither of whom are wisteria vines, are in terrible need of water and sunlight sitting in the window of their suburban home, so a hunky gardener comes to help them out.
Is that Desperate Housewives?
Yes, with Desperate Houseplants being the Sesame Street title. Still for Diana, this Melrose Place star played Bree Van de Kamp on Desperate Housewives.
Oh, shout out to Again With This. That would be Marcia Cross.
Correct for another 10. We'll kick it back to Scott. A talking plate has to ask questions of three different types of food to decide which one she wants to have on her for dinner.
Nothing is coming to me immediately. I think I need the hint.
A 1965 TV show with multiple revivals.
1965. Definitely before my time. I Love Lucy.
In this case, this was the Sesame Street version of the dating game called The Eating Game. Instead of Bachelor Number One, it was Meal Number One. It's the whole thing.
Why wasn't it called The Plating Game? I mean, I don't want to tell Jim Henson how to do his business.
But... No, that's objectively better. Still for Scott, the 2021 version of The Dating Game is hosted by Zooey Deschanel and this divisive Grammy winner.
Divisive Grammy winner. I don't know. Just because he's had some stuff recently. Eric Clapton.
In this case, we're talking Michael Bolton co-hosting Celebrity Dating Game. Back to Seth. Julianne Moore guest stars in this Cirque-inspired segment in which she and the Count sit on a bench in the park and admit that they're in love with someone else, specifically the number 7.
Guess I'm cycling through Julianne Moore movies, perhaps. Could I have the hint, please?
It's a 2002 Todd Haynes movie.
Oh, right. It's on the tip of my tongue. Oh, gosh. Not Magnolia. She gets sick. She has a mask. It passed.
Scott?
Far From Heaven?
Yes, but called Far From 7 in the Sesame Street version. This 24 star co-starred with Moore in Far From Heaven.
Is that going to be Heath for Sutherland?
This is also Allstate spokesperson Dennis Haysbert as one of the stars of Far From Heaven. Next up, back to Diana. Oscar the Grouch and his drab quintet give unwanted makeovers to the residents of Sesame Street.
Is that Queer Eye for the Straight Guy?
Yes, with Grouch Eye for the Nice Guy being the Sesame Street version. Diana, Ted Allen from the original Queer Eye has now hosted more than 600 episodes of this Food Network show.
That would be chopped.
Another full 30-point question for Diana will take us into our next score break from Scoremaster Dan.
This game is remaining really tight. Right now, Seth has 40 points, but Scott and Dan are tied for the lead. They have 95 points each.
All right, keeping it rolling into the next one for Scott. Ryan Reynolds, wearing a big letter, invites Telly, Elmo, and Abby to join his squad, but Telly doesn't want to get on a plane.
Ryan Reynolds on a plane. I try to block out his movies nowadays. I am going to ask for the hint on that.
A 1983 TV show with a 2010 movie version.
Green Lantern?
Ryan Reynolds not parodying himself here, just appearing in this sketch that parodies the A-Team. It's still called the A-Team, he just wore a giant letter A and wanted them to join the A-Team. Still for Scott, in the opening credits of the A-Team, Dirk Benedict reacts to a guy in a robot costume who looks strangely like a robot from this show in which Benedict played Starbuck.
That's Battlestar Galactica?
The original 1978 version, yes. Back to Seth. Telly loves this in-universe show about a guy in a white shirt, suspenders, and brown pants festooned with colorful shapes.
Could I have the hint, please?
A 1999 cartoon.
White shirt, brown pants, suspenders. Is this the Family Guy?
In this case, it is the Sesame Street version of SpongeBob SquarePants, called Triangle Bob Triangle Pants.
Yeah, Telly's little. He's not allowed to watch Family Guy. That's not okay.
Right, that's true.
Still for Seth, in SpongeBob, the Krusty Krab's siren is identical to the siren used in this 1994 Frank Darabont movie.
Ooh. You know, I haven't watched a lot of SpongeBob. A siren from a 1994 movie. I'll take a stab in the dark Independence Day.
Scott?
The Shawshank Redemption?
Yes, with that sound clip showing up on SpongeBob. Next, we are back to Diana. A recurring segment has Gordon as the hero of one of Oscar's favorite books. In each episode, he's stranded on a strange planet and has to come up with non-violent ways to overcome the aliens he encounters. If only Sesame Workshop had secured the rights to the Queen soundtrack.
I thought I had an idea, but then the Queen threw me off, so I'm going to take the hint.
It's a long-running property, with the most notable entry coming from a 1980 movie.
I'm going to guess Wayne's World?
In this case, this is Trash Gordon on Sesame Street parodying Flash Gordon. Still for Diana, this stentorian British actor, who also voices a rabbit on Peppa Pig, recorded an amazing commentary track for the 1980 Flash Gordon in which he played Prince Volton.
I'm just going to guess Michael Caine.
That
would be great. Brian Blessed is the actor from Flash Gordon we're talking about here. Last Sesame Street parody for each player. This one is for Scott. Two preschoolers want to play in different ways, so they resolve their issues by singing a song about taking turns. As the sketch ends, the announcer promotes sequels, spin-offs, concert tours, and a version on ice.
Sounds like any movie today. I'm going to ask for a hint.
It's a franchise that started as a 2006 TV movie.
Oh, High School Musical?
Yes, with Preschool Musical being that Sesame Street version. Scott, a 2019 TV installment of the High School Musical franchise has this lengthy title.
It's the TV show that has Olivia Rodrigo in it. I think it's called High School Musical, the Musical, the Series.
Nailed it. All the pieces in the right places. Next up to Seth. Elmo plays a martial arts master who has to calm down his excitable new grasshopper student.
This sounds like, you know, the reference to grasshoppers. Is this the Karate Kid?
In this case, the old TV show with the Carradines, Kung Fu, has the grasshopper in it. But Elmo's got an actual grasshopper who he's working with. Still for Seth, in the 1972 and 1993 series of Kung Fu, Kwai Chang Kane is a monk from this tradition.
I will say Buddhism.
A Shaolin monk. And we'll close out round two with a Sesame Street parody for Diana. A hungry family plays a game show where they have to name the top five foods that make up a healthy meal.
Is this Family Feud?
Yes, in this case called Family Food. Diana, this member of NSYNC served as the announcer on Family Feud from 2010 to 2015.
Is it Lance Bass?
Joey Fatone, in this case. Well, that'll do it for round two. Up next, the scores from Dan and on to our final round. Before we get to the final round of play, it's time for the home version. Correctly guess the answer to Dan's riddle by the time the next episode comes out, and you can win fabulous prizes like the chance to name a score break. Take it away, Dan.
Recorded with the Wrecking Crew, it has timeless hits, more than a few. It was recorded largely without the group, and has some filler about a sloop.
Think you know the answer? Then head to usaquizshow.com/riddle to put that answer in and win that prize. Then see when we post the answer next week on our social media. We are at USA Quiz Show on Instagram and Twitter. Thanks for the riddle, Dan. How about a score update?
Going around three, it's time for the musical instrument you wish you'd never stop playing after high school score break. The musical instrument you wish you'd never stop playing after high school. Mine's the tuba. Did I actually think I'd keep it in my chops stumbling across tubas in the wild after graduation day's pomp and circumstance? We have a very tight game. Right now, Scott is in lead with 125. Diana is trailing close behind with 115. Seth is trailing with just 40 points. That means he'll need to get 9 correct answers to pull in the lead, but he does get to go first in round three.
And anything can still happen as we enter the lightning round. Players get their choice of categories and are given 90 seconds to answer as many questions in that category as possible. 10 points for each correct answer you can provide. Today's categories are Not Much Canned Laughter, Zed, Game Set Match, and You Can't Handle the Tooth. Now, those topics are a little bit mysterious, so pick the thing that you think you're going to do the best on. Or perhaps you want to keep something easy away from one of your fellow players. Seth, in third place, you get first pick. Which of the four categories would you like? Once again, they are Not Much Canned Laughter, Zed, Game Set Match, and You Can't Handle the Tooth.
I think I am drawn to Zed.
You have a guess as to what's going on with this?
I think just since that's the last letter of the alphabet and I'm the last in the game, maybe that'll bring me some good luck.
I like that logic, Seth. In this case, Zed is another name for the letter Z. So every answer in this round is going to start with the letter Z or Zed. 90 seconds on the clock. Timer starts when I finish reading the first question. Seth, are you ready?
Yes.
In Smallfoot, she plays Michi.
Pass.
This pulp character got his start in a 1919 story by Johnston McCulley.
Zorro.
Jessica Paré performed this song on a memorable episode of Mad Men.
Pass.
She took on the John Cusack role in a reimagining of High Fidelity.
Zendaya.
Zoe Kravitz. Scott Baio gets telekinesis in this 1982 movie.
Pass.
David Bowie uses this stage persona starting in 1972.
Ziggy Stardust.
According to the title of a 2011 movie, Matt Damon and family bought one of these.
Zabroni.
A zoo. In a 1999 Disney Channel movie, she is a girl of the 21st century.
Say Zendaya again.
Xenon. Ben Stiller directed and starred in this 2001 movie.
Pass.
Billy Gibbons, Frank Beard, and Dusty Hill spent 51 years as this band.
ZZ Top.
Christina Ricci plays this jazz age icon in a 2015 Amazon series.
Pass.
The Cranberries had a hit with this 1994 protest song.
Zombie.
This 2014 sci-fi series has the heroes on a road trip across a zombie-infested U.S.
World War Z?
Z Nation, the title of that series. All right, Dan, let's hear the Seth report.
All right, Seth had a pretty good round. He had 4 correct answers. Let's go through the passes. In Smallfoot, if you've been listening to the show for a long time, you know, of course, that Zendaya is Michi in Smallfoot. The Jessica Paré performed the song Zuba Zuba Zoo on a memorable episode of Mad Men. Scott Baio gets telekinesis in a 1982 movie that's aged very, very poorly called Zapped. It had a sequel called Zapped Again because the 80s were the height of creativity and cocaine. Ben Stiller starred and directed Zoolander. And Christina Ricci played Zelda Fitzgerald in a 2015 Amazon series. Seth got 4 correct answers. That means he has 80 points. Unfortunately, that is not enough to move him into the lead. Dan is up next. She has 115. 1 correct answer will tie, and 2 correct answers will put her into first.
Diana, 3 category choices left on the board. They are Not Much Canned Laughter, Game, Set, Match, and You Can't Handle the Tooth.
I'm going to go with Not Much Canned Laughter.
You got a guess as to where this is going?
I'm guessing it's maybe something about dramas on TV or sitcoms that don't have a laugh track.
Well, not many of the sitcoms from the 2010s had laugh tracks. We moved more towards single camera. So this is going to be all about sitcoms of the 2010s. 90 seconds on the clock. Diana, are you ready?
Yes.
The Rosebud Motel features in this Dan Levy series.
Pass.
She plays the titular Jess on New Girl.
Zooey Deschanel.
Mark McKinney and America Ferrera have roles on this 2015 workplace comedy.
Ugly Betty.
Superstore. On AP Bio, Glenn Howerton teaches biology but has a PhD in this.
Chemistry?
Philosophy. This Wendy McClendon Covey show shares a name with a Golden Age sitcom.
Pass.
She plays Anna Faris's mom on Mom.
Allison Janney.
Sharon Horgan gets unexpectedly pregnant in this 2015 series.
Catastrophe.
This Princess Bride and Gossip Girl actor is a physicist on Young Sheldon.
Carrie Elwes?
Wallace Shawn. This Tim Allen series ran from 2011 until 2021.
Last Man Standing?
Happy Endings was set in this city.
Chicago?
On The Good Place, Darcy Carden plays this AI who is not a girl.
Janet.
If Jane Fonda is Grace, then she is Frankie.
Lily Tomlin.
Tracy Ellis Ross plays Dr. Rainbow Johnson on this 2014 series.
Blackish.
Blackish right before the buzzer. All right, Dan, let's hear the Diana report.
Whew, right in under the buzzer. All right, just a couple of passes. The Rosebud Motel features in Schitt's Creek. And the current sitcom that shares name with the Golden Age sitcom is The Goldbergs. It was actually considered to be the first sitcom ever. Dana got 8 correct answers, bringing a total of 195 points. So it's now all on Scott. He's got 125. He'll need to get 7 correct answers in order to tie and 8 in order to take the win.
All right, Scott, 2 category choices left on the board. They are Game, Set, Match, and You Can't Handle the Tooth.
So A Few Good Men happens to be my favorite movie of all time. However, I don't think I know that much about teeth or dentists, which is what I'm expecting that it's going to be about. So I'm going to say Game, Set, and Match, which might be about tennis.
Spot on. Game, Set, and Match is all about tennis in popular culture. 90 seconds on the clock. Scott, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Will Smith is the father of Venus and Serena Williams in this 2021 movie.
King Richard.
This actor romances Kirsten Dunst in Wimbledon.
Paul Bettany.
Jamie Summers was a professional tennis player before assuming this title.
Pass.
Emma Stone portrays this tennis legend in Battle of the Sexes.
Billie Jean King.
The original Mario Tennis was first released on this Nintendo console.
64.
Michelle Pfeiffer, Susan Sarandon, and Cher play a magical tennis game in this 1987 movie.
The Witches of Eastwick.
Tennis star Steffi Graf is the pinnacle of human beauty, according to this Parks and Rec character.
Pass.
Nancy Woods plays for this high school's tennis team in Archie Comics.
Riverdale.
In the Realm of Perfection is a 2018 documentary about this tennis player.
Roger Federer.
John McEnroe. Betty Kane was a tennis prodigy before joining up with this team of young DC superheroes.
Teen Titans.
Andy Samberg plays an excruciating tennis match with Kit Harington in this HBO comedy special.
Can't remember what it's called, pass.
He plays tennis pro Richie Tenenbaum in a 2001 movie.
Jason Schwartzman.
Luke Wilson. A tennis player gets involved in a murder swap in this Hitchcock movie.
Strangers on a Train.
Strangers on a Train right before the buzzer. All right, Dan, let's hear the Scott report and the final scores.
Boy, everyone just going right down the buzzer in this match. Scott had a good round. He needed 8 correct answers in order to take the win. Let's go through the passes first. Jamie Summers was a professional tennis player, but then she became the Bionic Woman. According to Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec, Steffi Graf is the pinnacle of human beauty. And the HBO comedy special where Andy Samberg plays a tennis match with Kit Harington is called 7 Days in Hell. Now remember, Scott needed 7 correct answers to tie, 8 correct answers to win outright. I mean, our final scores are Seth with 80, Dan with 195, Scott got 8 correct answers, he finished with 205 points, just barely taking the win.
Squeaker.
Wow, Scott. Woo! Good job. Congratulations to Scott pulling it out down at the wire. But that does mean it is the end of the road for Seth and Diana. Both of you, thank you so much for coming on and playing with us today. Super, super fun game. Before we go, though, remember that Seth is on Instagram at SwoozyHearse, A+ handle. Amazing. Love that. And Diana is on Twitter at Diana Daum. Scott is chatting movies as one of the hosts of the Some Like It Scott podcast and is on Twitter and Letterboxd at Scarvy Dent. Links to all of these things are in your show notes, so scroll down in your app and click on them all. Congratulations again to Scott, who's going to be moving on to the Vancouver Rehearsal Tapes Division Finals, and you can follow Scott as the baseball emoji over on our Season 7 bracket. Well, that'll wrap it up for this week. Be sure to join us next time as we take a quick break before the playoffs with a special episode with some special guests from the iFanboy Comics website and podcast network. We'll be here with Josh Flanagan, Connor Kilpatrick, and their frequent guest, Dr. Ryan Haupt, for some comics trivia and so, so much more. Be sure not to miss this very special showdown. For this week, I've been your host, Taylor Cole, and on behalf of Scoremaster Dan, Production Master Dave, Seth, Scott, and Diana, thanks again for listening to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show. And nobody better say Reese's Pieces, I swear to God.
Ew. Sounds like feces. Don't like that at all.
You think that's right, what he calls when he has poops? You think that's what he calls them?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, Reese, what a character. Well, Zed is another thing for the letter Z, as you mentioned. So in this round, every answer is going to start with the letter Z or Zed.
Okay, Taylor, one more time. It's another thing for the letter Z?
Did I say thing? Good Lord. It's been a day. Here we go.
It could have been thingy. That's like one step below thing.